Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, now I have that up. Let's see if we can get the number. What's the number here? Oh, there we go. Hold on, give me a second. All right, that's the number, guys, to call in. Area code 646-668-2356. Let me know. All you got to do is press the one button. I'm just going to read y'all comments. But, yeah, press the one button. Let's talk about that. Black identity extremist. Why is it that black people aren't left alone no matter what? Well, yeah, I'm right. I'm going to put that comment up because it's true. Our suicide rate should be the highest in the nation, and it's not. We should have the highest suicide rate. All the things that we go through every day in this society, all the psychological, I didn't mean to do that. All things that we go through, we should, you say, turn back to the Most High and he will tell you what to do. Who said people turned away from him? Y'all always saying that. Yeah, that's right. And thank you, Golden Black. Yes, when you call, please stay on topic. We're talking about black identity extremists, and that's what we want to focus the attention on. So we go to the first call here. Erico 706, you're on the show.
Hi, Phil. How you doing? I was in the chat room and things like that. And the only thing I wanted to say was about when people were saying you have to pray for our enemies and things like that. I just wanted to say that I'm not going to be praying for people who doesn't have our best interests. And the white and these extremists and these people of power that's just trying to keep us oppressed, I don't believe that we should be praying for them. I'm not going to pray for anybody who doesn't have my well-being. And that's
well,
all I
just
want.
That, okay, well, I think you should take that energy and pray for your community if you're going to pray for somebody. That's the one you need
to
pray.
Oh, of course. I help my community as much as I can because I live in the South, and we really need help down here, and it makes me very sad to see how our black people are not even helping our black people. They rather spend their money and other things on different like races and cultures and won't even help their own. And I've always been the one to support black businesses, black owned everything.
All right, and keep doing that, sister. I appreciate you calling.
Okay, thank you.
Well, and also, let's talk about that. You say that, well, a lot of times black people don't support. You understand, these people have spent their time in overdrive, even conditioning our minds. I was passing by television today, and if you really go look at your TV, which is rare for me to look at TV, but go look at your TV. Every time you look at your TV, you see only one group of people on that TV the most. You don't see the plethora of America on television. You just see one group of people, and you're conditioned in your mind to just see that group of people, or you don't see nothing good about yourself. It's always you protesting, you're a thug, you some sort of stereotype. I mean, you never see nothing good about yourself, and that has an effect on black people as well. Let me see. Let's go to the next call. Erico 661, you're on the show.
Oh, hey, Phil. I was just calling on the whole black identity crisis thing. I want to get on that thing you just said about what we see on TV.
Okay.
It's just, I can really experience that because all the time I'll watch, you know, commercials and stuff and see, you know, what, you know, I mainly see white people on commercials or hair, you know, stuff like that. And when I was younger, I always thought to myself, how come I don't look like that? And I had some type of complex towards myself. And I seen that to my cousin, because she watched Disney Channel. We all see what cartoons and stuff that's out. And it was one time I was doing her hair. I was about to let her be natural. And she said, how come I can't have my hair like the little white girl on TV? And I had a real long discussion with her. I'm like, your hair is beautiful. It's very beautiful. You don't have to be like this white girl on television to be beautiful. You beautiful the way that you are. Your hair is different. It's unique. And I even told her, I really wish my mom or my sister told me this stuff when I was younger. Because me telling her this, she's starting to love black hairstyles. She wanted her hair in beads and braids. She wanted natural. She wanted, you know, all types of black hairstyles. You know what? Her saying that, it really made me smile. Because you know what? Just me being around is letting her know all of this stuff at a young age, it really gives her a better aspect in life when she gets older. I'm encouraging her and letting her know that she's beautiful every day. You don't have to be like these girls you see on TV. And I do ask myself, we need more black people in television. We need our own stuff. We need our own image. Because like you said, we see on TV, we're viewed as thugs and we just not good people. They like to view us as that because that's what they want. That's what they want to promote. They want us to be viewed as these people that just cause destruction. But really, it's not us doing it. It's really white people doing that. They know how to keep their image really, really good. They know how to make themselves seem as innocent, all this other stuff. It's like the thing with the dude at the Las Vegas shooting. They tried so hard to make him seem like he was, you know, like a lone wolf, knowing that that's not true. And this dude is a devil. It's like, why are you shooting at people? And I tell myself this, you'll never see a black person do this because that's not who we are. We're not savages. We're not killing people. It's really them. But they know how to keep their image real good. You know?
Well, sister, now you about to get on that list now. You're talking like a black identity extremist. I mean, teaching that child to love her hair and, you know, teaching that child to love herself. You're an extremist now. So you better get on the list. You may get a visit. I'm letting you know, it's black identity. Now you're an extremist.
Yeah.
Even though, like I say, shoot, black people couldn't even stockpile an arsenal like that. You're talking about dudes in Vegas. Man, black people go in there and buy one gun. You probably see that. Number one, the white gun shop owner may not sell it to you. Or if you do get it, the ATF is going to start showing up at your house and say, hey, you know, you bought that AR-15 and you wanted to buy about 50 magazines. What are you going to do with that? Like, why do you need all that? The ATF be at your house. They're not going to let black people get all them guns. Because that dude that had those guns, he bought them all legally. All of them illegal.
Exactly.
He had no illegal guns. So like I said, we can't even walk down the street without being harassed by the police. That's why we can't pull nothing crazy like that. I mean, you know, we're over-police.
Exactly. And then you talked about the whole suicide thing. You know, black people, we don't kill ourselves. We are strong and we have a better will in our life to not do that. But then you see white people doing this. You see the opioids and, you know, the overdosing and stuff. It's really mostly white people doing this. Out of all the stuff that we went through, it should have been us being the ones that's committing suicide, but we're not. That explains how we are. Like, even though we went through all of this stuff, we're still standing and we're standing strong.
Right. You're right. We should be the main ones just offering ourselves every day. Like, man, you know, and like I always tell people, see, black people, you wouldn't want us to get in that condition. Because once you get in a condition that you have nothing to live for, like, you know, that's the wrong person to get around. You know, but, sister, you know, I definitely appreciate you calling the show.
Nice to be on it.
All right. Let's see here. Air code 843, you're on the show.
Yo, what up, Phil?
Okay, how you doing?
Hello?
What's your name?
Yeah, my name's David. I'm from South Carolina. And the reason why white people hate us so much, because they know we are the real Jews. And that's what I'm saying. All white people is going to hell. So y'all leave us in captivity. So y'all going in captivity. Fuck y'all.
Okay. How does that have anything to do with black identity extremists? Okay, I guess that's what he wanted to say. He's off the phone. All right. Go to the next person. Erico 404, you on the show?
Hey, what's up, Phil?
What's going on? What's your name?
My name is George Daly. I'm Sashomaru on the chat. Sashomaru 3SD.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Yeah, the two questions you gave us to give an opinion on was what do we think about black extremists and why are they so obsessed with us, right?
Correct.
The word extremist is not really a bad term. When you look up the term on Google, it's someone who's serious or zealous or very single-minded about a political view or a religious view. Sometimes they take extreme actions, you know, to get their influence out or to accomplish something. But it's not really bad. If black people were really extremists, it wouldn't be so bad because we would actually be serious about what we're talking about. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not necessarily, the word itself is not necessarily bad. It's just that they spin it to ascribe it to certain actions they want. But if we as black people stand up for what we want and really be zealous and very serious and be single-minded about what we want, it wouldn't be so bad. We would actually be extremists. And why are they so obsessed with us? Well, the obsession is not really because of hate. It's more than hate. It's more than that. It's a means of survival. They want to more than survive. They wanna keep all the resource to themselves. They want to control. They want to, you know, extend their sphere of influence. So to do that, you can't have black people or other people exercising their freedom, because if black people exercising their freedom is a deterrent to their freedoms, because we have limited resources.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why only focus on black people? You have Hispanics, you have Asians. Actually, if you really
if you look in the news right now.
Well, hold on. I'm gonna keep it real. If they really had a problem with somebody, wouldn't it be the Asians? Let's think about that. Asians in this country, male or female, make more money than white people, period, per dollar. They have more median income. They have less divorce, less abortion. They have a lot of businesses. Their communities are really intact, way more than the white community could ever be if you look at the numbers. So while white feminists are crying about equal pay, Asian women make 90 cents to the dollar, well over a white woman herself. So why aren't they focusing Why aren't they focusing on Asians when actually Asians is more of an economic threat to them than blacks? Why?
The answer is in your statements. Just look at it. To exercise your freedom, you need power. You need influence. And Chinese have the power and influence. You can't fight them like how you fight blacks. They have more power. They have more influence. That's the point, Phil. That's the point. So the answer is already in your statements. You just need to look at them.
Well, that doesn't. I don't think you really get what I'm saying. I'm saying is, if you weren't about freedom, since the Asians would have more resources,
but harder,
and not all of them are
it's
Chinese.
Harder to,
not
look,
all of them are Chinese.
Look, it's easier to take the path of least resistance. The Chinese would give more resistance because they have more power. Look, when the Americans went over to China and tried to destabilize their country, what did the emperor do? He took extreme actions. He not only kicked them out and he started killing his own people to make sure that they wouldn't overdose on them goddamn drugs, man. Is what I'm saying? So you have to look at it. It's a power struggle, man. And those people who are obsessed with us are not the racists who are in the power positions. Those are the low trolls, man. They have nothing better to do than obsess with us. They need something to make themselves feel superior, like their boss. You see what I'm saying? And they don't have it. So they come to the black community and pick on the ones with the least, where they can find the least resistance. That's just how it is, man. It's not complicated. That's just how it is.
Okay.
I'm not really religious, so I don't see things in a spiritual light. I look in the world. I look in the world. If God make this world, this is the only thing we have that's untouched by man to say we can examine and learn from.
All right. Well,
and we won't be deceived.
Time, bro. I appreciate you. All right. So let's go to where can I see? Okay. I was looking at some comments. Let's go to the next one. I think this is a Erico 707. You on the show?
How you doing, Phil? This is Kimberly, the True Royal Family.
Oh, hello, sister.
How you been? You know, there's something that I keep pounding on that I know some of us may realize it, and it was taught in my household by my father. We're always trying to look at where can we start uniting. And when I really started thinking about it and what my father did with me, what we have to do on a high percentage level is first deal with our immediate situation. And our immediate situation is the people collectively in our households that we can touch. If we do that on a high percentage level, then it would naturally bleed out in the community. Also, we should expect each other to do it, demand each other to do it. You know, it's like you should be pissed off with me if I am not doing what I need to do in my household with my family. That's the first thing. And we need to teach our royals, which is our children, about this system constantly, and stop thinking that if we move in white neighborhoods, and stop thinking if we put our children in white schools, that everything is going to be okay. Because what I'm seeing over and over again is you didn't put up a lot of stories too, Phil, where you got some lost black kid that I give the one that you did that really you just nailed it. It was some black kid that was sexting. And the white girl was doing it first, back and forth on the cell phone. Then they started showing pictures, and then they wanted to charge him. And you could see in his face, he was clueless. But his mama thought, well, we're going to move to this white neighborhood. I never heard of a father anywhere around. And that's the other thing. We got to stop thinking that we don't need our kings. We need our men, and we need to respect our men, and our men need to stay firm on their position. They have a position, we have a position. It's all about respecting each other too within our inner communities and our collective households. And we got to keep teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. My father taught me to the day he died, man, and the man never lied. He never lied. So I think sometimes we'll look so broad because it's so overwhelming because we're dealing with a war, and then we're dealing with the war within and everything, and these things will be natural. These things will happen naturally, and then we should expect each other to do what we have to do. That's all I have to
Correct.
Say, my king.
And, well, you know, like saying, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to ask you a question and ask your advice on something. But the statement I was making, yes, you know, we have to establish, and I push this for men to be men and be leaders. When you have, you know, Benedict Arnold's making articles saying black men are the white people or black people, and then you have other Benedict Arnold saying black men are terrorists, and you look at what happens in Vegas. I mean, we have a lot of things that we have to, you know, challenge and correct. And also, you know, I had a conversation with a young man the other day, and, you know, this young man was fooling with a young white girl. And I told him, I said, look, brother, this is not the time for that. I said, she may not be racist. The family may not be racist. I said, but somebody is going to see you, or you may have to see a police or whatever. And I said, brother, you are dark skinned. His brother, mm-hmm. like 6'6. 6'6, young man. And I said, yeah. You are the combination of what they fear, tall and dark. I said, mm-hmm. they are petrified of that much melanin and that height. I said, you'll be public enemy number one. I said, keep away from Becky. I said, we got sisters in our community just almost that color that you like. I said, get, you know what yeah. I'm saying? I said, find somebody. Yeah. I said, but uh-huh. leave them alone. And I think as black people, you talking about certain things, you want to see people go crazy. What if black people as a collective say, you know what, we're not going to date or even fool with them, and that's it, leave it alone. Boy, they'll start a war with black
sure
people.
Will.
They don't want to fool. Like, mm-hmm. what? You don't want to date mm-hmm. us? You don't want to, what you talking about? Well, it's not safe for black people anymore, you know. So we're gonna get killed if we be around you. So should they actually may fight against other white people just to get access to black people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I just say that. I mean, also I'm talking about to the men too, because you know I know they throw themselves at black men. And that's why I kind of hate when they say, "Oh, you black men want to fool white women." No, they throw themselves at black men. They touching black
yes,
men.
Yes, you know what? And you're right. You're right because. I worked in construction for 17 years, and I've had a lot of black men tell me, and I'm gonna be too raw about it, that they have met white women, don't even know her last name, and she on her knees that evening, you know. And the
mm-hmm.
sex drive is a really strong thing, and stuff. And I wanted to add one more point. If we are doing what I said on a high percentage level, Phil. I would want my children to marry your children because that keeps us strong. That's why I keep pumping that out. I don't believe you should force people to marry people, but in order to keep us strong, I know what you are doing across the street. You know what I'm doing across the street with my children and everything. We kind of got a sort of the same belief system, and that's what I'm looking at. And the other thing that – one more thing I want to add to this. And this crap about leaving home real quick, uh-uh. We have became a group of separatists where we want to get our own car, our own place, and can't wait to get a hell away from each other. It is how you are at home. Are you at home laying up on your family? Are you at home building with your family so you can take the next step? It's you know, they didn't put this crap on our mind, and we really got to pay attention that how this system is really affecting our conscience. And this is where the family helps us a lot. And this is also where our men, we really need our men, because when y'all hear me speak with the compassion and the conviction, it really, y'all, really what y'all hearing is my father. My father had a great effect on me, a great effect on me. You know, and he's passed on a few short years ago, and I'm seeing how important it is to have that father in the house. I'm not intimidated by alpha black men. I welcome them. You can't come to my channel disrespecting black men. You're not going to come to my channel disrespecting sisters. You're not going to do that. And it all goes back to my father. Anyway, Phil, I know a lot of other people want to speak, but I just wanted to put that out. And thank you, as always, my king.
Oh, thank you for calling, sister. Thank you very much. Let me get here and put it back on. Well, this is the thing. Hold on. Hey, Golden Black, call in if you can. And what's the area code if you do call in? Let me know. I'll take another call real quick. But Golden Black, see if you can call in for me. I want to talk to you, too. Let's see what we got here. They've been sitting here a while. Eric code 216, you're on the show.
How you doing, Phil? My name is Andre. Unfortunately,
oh,
I'm going to say, what's going on. I've been watching your show for a couple of years and watch your turmoil with other people, all that stuff, but we're not talking about that right now. But I'm going to say, unfortunately, okay, for us black people, this is the problem. We keep playing their game, but we want to play by our rules. We're never going to succeed if we keep playing by our rules. You got to play their game by their rules. Unfortunately, you watch black people get killed by the cops. What happens? They don't go to jail, or you find people that these are cops are putting in. Oh, I put 200 people in jail for crimes that they never did. These people destroyed 200 families, put millions and millions of dollars into the system, and they get a slap on the wrist, or they don't do nothing. Or then what even worse is, oh, we find, well, fine, you killed this man over here, but we're going to give you $5 million. But guess what? The $5 million that we gave you is taxed on the poor people that we killed, that we oppressing. So that don't cost them nothing. And unfortunately, you know, I'm not trying to condone violence, but these people have no consequences. When people have no consequences, they're going to continue to do what they do. The reason why the white people control America is, no offense, they had enough balls to come over and take what they wanted. And unfortunately, until black people come together and say, you know what, we're not going to take this anymore, or we're not going to stand for this and unite together, it's not going to do anything. We're going to say, hey, we're not going to take this. We're not going to do this anymore. Whatever. But the problem is, we got the feminist people, and they realize that we are more powerful than them. They realize that, too, our black women are more stronger than anybody. So they fragment us by get the women fighting with us. Like when you see, like, the sponsors leaving YouTube and anything, the reason why the sponsors, nobody gives a darn if you were watching a Pepsi commercial before a bad video. Nobody cares. But they realize, wait a minute. People aren't watching cable anymore. Most black people are paying attention to people like you online. They listen to you at work, wherever they are. They realize you are becoming a power and you don't spend no money. So the only way, wait a minute, how can we shut these black men up and these black women up from getting together? What do we got to do? We got to take away their reason for making shows. We'll go ahead and attack the sponsors and make it seem like this, and we'll get these women fighting here. Because once you, unfortunately, a lot of our women are emotional. Once they get going, go ahead.
Brother, I want to interject. And how you counter that, for like, it's like a chess move. For every move they make, you got to counter it. So if they take away the incentive, this is why I say supporters on Patreon. I'm not saying that for my health and because I want
to. Of course.
I really don't want to be asking for that. But what I'm saying is, you know, we should have, you know, at least 3,000 faithful people to be able to do that. Well, I would never have to worry about YouTube. YouTube shut the page down today. I'll say, I ain't worried about it. I'll put up another one tomorrow. I don't need YouTube because the people got me. And that's how you keep things going. See, that's what the folks have versus us, is that they could finance certain things. And I noticed that, like, let's say the Houston Flood Relief Fund thing we did, with just 390 people, all the things that we would be able to do to help people, and you know, you watch the video, right? That was 390 people that did that. So imagine, like I told people, I believe in the power of 3,000. You have 3,000 faithful people that's willing to get in the trenches with you and do different things. You don't need millions. You just need a few to make that change. And they know that. They know that better than anyone else. But you're right. People are listening more to social media and watching people more like myself than listening to the old heads on television or even the old heads in black media. Because at least the old heads in black media, they were trying to, you know, cuddle up with the Democratic Party and, you know, trying to shuck and jive just a little bit to say they for black issues. So, yeah, things have changed, and they're trying to rein that in.
Well, one problem, too, though, we have is, Phil, I'm going to just tell you like this. You know, as you see already with this terrorist incident in Las Vegas, you see how they know how to stay on cold. They stay on code. They ain't called this man no bad names, none of that crap. Unfortunately, when one of our people do that, we got to stay on code too. Because we got to play the game by their we playing a game by – we trying to be moral to people who are not moral. You're not going to win a battle that way. Unfortunately, you will find out these people doing these things. I mean, unfortunately, things got to happen. If they're not going to jail – if they're not going to suffer any consequences, here's the question. Would you rob a bank tomorrow if you knew that you weren't going to get in any trouble? I mean, a lot of people are not going to sit there and say, well, that's morally wrong, I'm not going to do it. There are going to be a lot more bank robbers. If you allow
okay,
this person
but
to put all these people
brother.
In jail or kill people and no consequences,
brother,
what's going to stop them?
Let me tell you something. I get what you're saying about being on cold, but at the same time, we aren't those people. And we don't want to relegate ourselves to those people because if you really look deep into what they got going on outside the facade they put out in front of everybody, they're so happy and got everything together, but you look deep into their issues and they're dying at least estimated 91 or so a day for drugs and high suicide rates and mass shootings and all that stuff. And they always on this so-called code. So really, how is that code working for them? If you think about it at the end of the day.
I got you right here, Phil. I'm going to tell you this like this, and unfortunately you may not like to hear this, but I'm going to tell you like this. We'd all be slaves right now if there wasn't for people that stood up and said, you know what, I'm tired of this mess. That's what and unfortunately, as they say, you want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs. And unfortunately, they didn't put seatbelts in cars until the right person passed away. That's when it's a law now to put seatbelts in cars. Unfortunately, you can't play a game with people who are willing to kill. They don't care about anything. You've seen our government have done many of things. I mean, come on now, Black Wall Street, look what they did to the Indians. I mean, you fighting with a people who have no morals. I understand that people will say, oh, well, they're going to be just below, we're going to go high. But no offense, sometimes when we got some people that's going to say, well, look, I'm not taking the high road, I'm going to go the low road with them. And we just got to, instead of down and in, we just got to just let them do their thing. Because we realize
that's
still fighting for us.
Saying.
It's not condoning it, but we got to do what they do.
Hold on. That's not what I was saying, that they go low, we go high. Because if they go low, I believe in going low with them. That's why I prayed in so constantly in my videos and why I tell black people to say certain things, because that's the only way they get it, right? But what I'm saying is, don't compare them to us, and we aren't the same group of people. We are totally different than they are. And I'm not saying not to stand up for ourselves and make change. I'm not saying that at all. I get what's going on, and some things are going to have to change, period. But, we just have to see how that goes. So, brother, I appreciate you calling, though, brother. All right, let's see. Hold on. I'm going to get down to you. Well, I saw you Golden Black in here somewhere. Is that Golden Black right there? Serico 702. Is that you, Golden Black?
Yes, it's me. Hey, Phil.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. What's up?
Oh, we were talking earlier. We were talking about the Black Identity Streams, but I wanted to ask you a question. It's related to what Sister Kimberly was saying about fixing certain things in our household and our community first in order to deal with some of the problems. Now, the other brother was talking about staying on code as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the question is, in my position, I'm always stuck with decisions all the time. I'm filtered a lot of stories from within the community, outside the community, and I always have to make a decision, should I air this or not? Some things I want to, but then some things I say, So let's talk about something. I'm going to get your opinion about it. Stories that have to do with crime in our community, which I hate it, and I probably get more angry about it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that we should shy away from those stories or just focus on the constant that we're focusing on now?
In my opinion, as black people, every day we are barraged with negative images of black people that is put out by media, whether it be mainstream media or whether it be like, your miscellaneous white dude on YouTube or on Twitter. We're constantly barraged with negative images of ourselves starting from a very young age. So I do not think that it is wise for us to give other groups of people, particularly white people, ammunition to use against this, because then it becomes like, oh, look, well, even other black people are saying it about you. Now, that's not to say that we cannot talk about anything. If there's a if there is an issue, like if it is truly disgusting, where it is just something where, you know, it is like the embodiment of Satan in human form, then it needs to be talked about. Like, major stuff should be talked about. But all of this, like, small, petty stuff, like, I don't think that it should be aired.
Well, let's see, I saw a story of a sister that, I didn't want to call her that, had scalded a 4-year-old child of hers to death. And the child was like, you know, mommy, why are you doing this? And the child died, okay? And this is within our own community. And even if I try to air something like that, because child abuse is real in anybody's community, and definitely ours, the comments come by, like, no matter what I say, and I can just focus on black people, I don't have to focus on racism. No matter what, that's where the comment's going to go. No matter what. I can say it light as possible. And, you know, yes, I think about being on code, too, because I had got a plethora of emails. You going to talk about that shooting that happened at that church by that black guy? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I'm being on code. Let them talk about it. They report on it more than I will report on it.
Any violation, any crime committed against a child, you know, that's serious. So if it's something against children, then, like, we shouldn't protect child abusers, regardless of what their race is. You know what I'm saying? Like that dude who killed that little 8-year-old boy because he was trying to save his sister from being raped. Like, even though that was a black family, like, we shouldn't sweep shit like that. Like, that was disgusting. Any crime committed against a child, like, that needs to be aired, especially if it's child abuse or something that to that magnitude, because that was disgusting. And it actually took me about 4 or 5 days to even listen to a video about it, because it was like it unsettled my soul. And I have an 8-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter. I was like, I cannot listen to this. But we shouldn't be giving, you know, child abusers any type of protection. You know, that they don't have immunity in the community. We can air them out. That's no problem. But like,
because
all of this
is what,
like,
you get. But this is what you get too. Okay, let's say I'll air that story, right? Then you'll have forget the racists. We're talking about black people. Then you'll have yeah, we see just how them black women are, and this is like, so it's you never, it's like I you never win for. I never could win on certain stories. That's why sometimes I was like, you know, I want to disable comments on certain stories because I don't want to even see it on the board. You get what I'm saying? Because, like, I think some stories out there is important and we need to get out. And like I said, I hate to see the crime. You know, I do, because I feel that, you know, how oppressed we are and what we go through. Why are you going to rob people that don't have crap, or, you know, shoot a bullet at an innocent child, or shooting up a club? You know what I'm saying? Like, I've done videos like that, and I've been very upset because I hate to see one of us hurt one of us. Because I feel we're strong, and we can get rid of that element of Golden Black, and then we could link up together to go against that system. But we're too fractured.
Yeah, we are fractured. And it's very sad that the fracture exists. But really, you can just try to, you know, work on yourself and how you, like, as a black man, how you interact with black women, and as a black woman, how I interact with other black men, to try to fix those fractures. Because it's like, I don't want to say, like, sometimes it's overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you just really step back and you just assess the situation from an objective point of view, it's very overwhelming. So, like, you know, you'll make those videos and people are going to say what they're going to say about black women, and people are going to say what they want to say about black men. But it's like, if you're not on that, then, like, you just got to learn how to move past it. And maybe disabling the comments may be helpful. Make people hold on to that negative energy. If you want to say it, that's fine, but you're going to have to make your own video and you know, talk about it and let people comment there. But you're going to have to hold that negative energy, because I don't want it here. So that may be a good idea.
Yeah, because, like, for instance, I made that video about the young lady, you know, the Banana Republic. And this one comment, because I was speaking about, well, you know, some black women wear weave sometimes due to the attacks. Not always the self-hate issue, due to the attacks, about their natural hair. They say, I don't want to deal with the problem, so they kind of cave in. And I was making that statement mm-hmm. because I try to look at it from all sides in our community, what the women go through, what the men go through. And then you have some idiot saying, oh, you sipping for black women. Like, what the hell are you talking about? I have lived life long enough mm-hmm. to see what happens on jobs. So mm-hmm. it's common, you know, because some people, it's just ignorant. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always put in that position. Like, this one person made a comment. They said it's a double-edged sword for me. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the more we grow, the more I have to be cognizant of what I put out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the problem. The black men who actually care about the black women in their community and being called a simp, that's a problem. The black women who stand up for black men and being called mammies, that's a problem. So it's like it's almost as if people don't want black men and black women standing up for each other, and they're like contributing to the problem. But I don't rock with people like that. I block people and I keep it moving, because to me that's it's very problematic. And when you start doing stuff like that, then I'm either going to have to write you off as a coon or an agent, because at the end of the day, when you say stuff like that, you are furthering the divide between black men and black women, and you know I cannot stand for that. It's a problem. So I don't play that like true royal family. I don't tolerate black women bashing, and I do not tolerate black man bashing. But that, I'm glad you brought that up, Phil, because that has to be addressed about how people will, you know, talk down on you for actually standing up for your you know, the opposite sex within your group. And I don't know if it's because black men and black women have been divided for so long, and it's almost like done on cue, and people don't even realize it because it's, you know, it's been the norm for so long. But that's definitely an issue that needs to be addressed.
Oh yeah, hey, I see. Everybody's saying Cynthia in the room. Hey, Cynthia, call in if you in the room. If she's in the room, hold on, let me see here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not kicking you off. I'm just saying, Cynthia, if you're there, let me know if you're calling in. But anyway, somebody said that. Yeah, you know, you're probably having a dilemma. Phil's probably having a dilemma with his content. I have a dilemma with my content daily. It's not a new thing. Because mm-hmm. I have to choose. Like I say, it's always a choice. What mm-hmm. the trend, now what's trending, what can I bring, but also what kind of message and what's the theme I'm going to do for that day. And it has to flow within the same message of what I'm doing. I mean, like, mm-hmm. people don't, like I said, it is, like, Golden Black, it's stressful sometimes trying to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really love your channel. I appreciate your content. I respect your opinion. And, you know, we went, you know, head-to-head about your videos, but I really do appreciate your platform, what you're doing. I support you 150%. I support you on YouTube. I support you on Patreon. So it's like, you know, we're not going to agree on everything 100%. Nobody does, but, you know, we're a family. We talk about it and, you know, we keep it moving. But I definitely appreciate your platform and your point of view. And your, you're very logical, too.
Hold on, Golden Black. Hey, Cynthia, you on?
Mm-hmm. I am.
Oh, okay, what's going on, Cynthia?
Hey, Golden Black, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, except that I got another channel taken down, but that's a different story.
Oh, boy. They still with that?
They still are. You know, they're never going to stop. So my live channel got removed today. So I'm going to get it back up, though. I'm definitely going to get it back up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Cynthia, I'm pretty sure you heard about the black identity extremists. Well, what do you think about that?
I did. I was just reading it. I was I was just reading it, and the thing of it is of course, it's just a revamped version of COINTELPRO, but my issue is that black people are going to let this ride. I know they are. We're going to allow this. And this is, just like someone said, this is a very dangerous thing, because now if black people get together for like family reunions, now you have a bunch of black people congregating, so they must be plotting terrorism against the country. I mean, it's a very dangerous thing for us to allow, but my frustration is already beginning, because I know it's something we're going to allow, although this is clearly their way to make a black equivalent form of racism, since their terrorism is being highlighted right now. So now they have to deflect, and they have to say, well, look, black people are doing it too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think it is.
Well,
because
well,
did you notice in the article, did you notice they said in the article, not to cut you off, but they said in the article that the FBI decided to come up with this right after the Charlottesville white supremacist attack. So
well,
right now, it's
before.
Just a bump hold.
Cynthia, it was 9 days before Charlottesville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, the country isn't at a loss of right-wing terrorism. So the bottom line of it is, if there was an event in between Charlottesville, so they're just, it's their way of being manipulative, and unfortunately, I just know it's going to work, because we tend to be extremely passive. We're not on code. The only time we show aggressiveness is when a black person suggests that we don't lay up with white people. So to me, it's another thing that is already an issue, the fact that they're putting it out. But the fact that I know our response to this is not going to be what it should be, that's what's irritating me right now.
Yeah, you know, it just tripped me out. But I know, like I said, it's like the COINTELPRO all over again. Like I say, anybody who identifies with, like I was telling earlier, a young lady, I guess you're a black identity extremist too, because you're teaching your, you know, little girl to love herself and have natural hair and identify with being black. I guess all that's, you know, extremist. Shoot, Cynthia, you extremist. I'm extremist. Everybody extremist, I guess.
But look at
that's
what
they're
doing, though.
That's why
you have
some trolls, Cynthia. Because that's paid government trolls.
They've been told me I was on the terrorist watch list. I don't know how they came up with that, but the thing of it is, look at the way they're doing this black identity extremist. They're vaguely defining it. They're not telling you how to identify what these black identity extremists would be beyond having an issue with police brutality. So basically they're saying anyone who, we have to identify these black identity extremists, but the only thing that they're mentioning is anybody who have a problem with police brutality. Well, that can manifest in a number of different ways. So how would you identify one of these black identity extremists from just a regular black person? Like, how would you do that? And they're not defining it so that they can just target any black person.
Right. Like I said, the new criminalization of blackness has begun. Like I said, we all knew it was coming. Between Sessions and Trump, we knew that stuff was coming. I mean, it was just a matter of time. I mean, and now it's here. So, you know, like I was saying earlier, they need to start choosing different tactics on how they're doing things. But getting in the street, you know, saying Black Lives Matter, not changing anything either. And that's when the race soldiers go out there and pull out all the equipment and start harming black people. But we got to figure out different tactics because, you know, in the streets, it's not working.
Right, but the thing of it is, oh, I think you said we need to, not they need to, because I was going to say they're not really doing anything that they haven't already done. We're falling for their same old tactics, and we're responding to them the same way, which is going out and marching and protesting and praying. The fact that they're still allowing black people to protest means that it's ineffective, because if it was effective, they would actually be doing something to stop you from protesting. But they're fine with black people yeah, they'll use it to demonize and say, look at black people, they're thugs and criminals and they're looting. Yeah, they can do that to use it to their advantage for negative propaganda. But the fact that they're allowing black people to protest means that it's ineffective. To me, that means it's completely ineffective. But what I wanted to ask you is because I know me and you tend to look at certain things from a spiritual aspect, although we don't really, we might differ in terms of, you know, religious beliefs or whatever. But I think we do both agree that a lot of these things is happening, it has a spiritual element to it. So what do you think in terms of, because of course we know they're dying out. There's a number of different things that are occurring. They're dying out. So there's things that they're doing. And what do you think in terms of this being one of those ways that they try to thrive to as a result of them dying out? I'm just interested to see if you think that that's in some way connected to it.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm definitely spiritual on some lot more things. And when I looked at what's going on worldwide, with them, the low birth rates, the low sperm count, the high suicide rate, the middle-aged men in their community just dying for no, you know, apparent reason, the opioid crisis that they have, the crystal meth epidemic they have, they're hiding, you know, very well. They're spending so much money on Narcan, like reviving heroin addicts, and it's breaking their budgets all over the place. They can't figure their budget out in Congress. They're trillions of dollars in debt. They can't figure out anything with China or North Korea or whatever. Then what I'm looking at is their downfall is happening, and I believe God is sanctioning it because no one is doing them anything, and yet they're falling, and they can't do anything about it either. What I'm also seeing is that spiritually, everything that they really have done to other people, not just black people, the Native Americans, you have, like, the Africans, you have, you know, other groups of the Aborigines who wiped out in Australia, all these different people wiped, the different groups that were wiped out when Columbus showed up for just being nice to them. That innocent blood has cried out for revenge for a long time. You have, what, about an estimated 20 million babies who's been murdered through state-sanctioned murder of abortion. Whether you agree with abortion or not, it's still murdering children. This country has killed more children than King Herod killed in the time of Christ, when he said to kill every male child, two and under. This country has done more of that, and that innocent blood has cried out to the ground, to God, for revenge. Now, it's going to happen. It has not by our hand, but it's going to happen by his hand. And I see it. I see it in what's going on. I see it every single day. And Sister Kimberly, I want you to read something, Sister Kimberly. Read Revelation chapter 18 about the fall of Babylon. That's America. Read it, Sister Kimberly, when you get a chance. You're going to trip out when you read that whole chapter. I one day I woke up, and that chapter was on my mind, Revelation 18. But one thing that said that, now I've been preaching this, and let me go on and get to this one thing, Cynthia. Oh, in chapter 18, verse 4, when it said, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. So that means we need to come out from among them and what they got going on. We don't need to be caught up with the black people that was caught up in Vegas. That is because they were in the area. You shouldn't be there. I mean, I don't want to be in an open spot no more like that. Because I don't know what's going to go on. They have infighting with each other, Cynthia. Look at it. They're infighting so much among each other. It's almost like right before the Civil War, how they were infighting.
They got a lot of problems going on.
And then I saw on 4chan.
I was just going to add to what you were saying, because I think that all of that is true. It's so obvious to whether if someone thinks that it's connected to biblical prophecies or whatever, okay, that's fine. I also look at what's happening. So if what's happening in reality just so happens to be in alignment with biblical prophecies, okay, then that's fine. I'll do that with black people. I'll definitely jump on that and do that. My thing is, one of the things that we don't do is that we don't anticipate what they're going to do next. So we keep being surprised by everything they do because we're not paying attention to what they're doing around us. We don't pay attention to it. We just go around. Now, what I'm looking at what's everything that they're doing now. What is the narrative that they're doing now? Because they know that they're dying out. You have like these low-level white supremacists who could say whatever they want to. But at the end of the day, the powers that be, they know they're dying out. So I think they're doing either one of two things or a combination of things. They either have the attitude of, we already know we're dying out, so let's get rid of as many black people as we can, because if we're going, black people are going to. Or they have the mindset of, let's work to, number one, because you have melanin being harvested. So obviously they're getting a hold of melanin. They already know the genetic difference between black people and white people. They know that black people are the original people, so therefore they have the strongest likelihood to survive genetically. So I think it's either let's get rid of the black people since we're going, they're going to, or let's use black people to keep ourselves around. And that's why if you notice everything, you can't even get on a Google Play application without seeing an ad for interracial dating specifically between black men and white women. I can't look at anything. And I was just noticing the overwhelmingness of it. I'm just like, I cannot look at any magazine or click on anything without seeing an interracial dating advertisement. It's saturated. So if we were to think and play chess and not play checkers, we would think about how white people are. When do they ever advertise something that's not beneficial to them? And it's like, so if they're putting out all of this interracial dating, then they probably see that it serves a benefit to them. And it actually does, because generally, if you look at the data, when a black person creates a biracial child, 90% of the time, probably higher, it's by way of a black man and a white woman, and that white woman is solely raising that child by itself. Data shows that that white child goes and procreates and marries a white person. And if that person, that mixed person, procreates with a white person, that's another white person that was created, except with better genetics. So either you have them thinking, number one, we're either going to exterminate these black people, or we're going to have them breed themselves out and mix with us so we have better genetics, and then we're not dying out, and we can go against nature's plan to get rid of us.
That's not going to work.
That's just my theory.
Once your time is up, your time is up. And I can tell you this much. They're in the fourth quarter of their rule, and they're approaching the two-minute warning. And every minute that gets closer to the two-minute warning, they feel it. They're going to get more violent. They're going to get more crazy. That's what I see happening, because they know their time is up. And if they could try to harm this group, they can try to harm that group, but it's not going to work. I mean, sorry, it's not. I mean, they literally have given off all their wealth to China because of them. China's like the number two economy in the world. All the manufacturing jobs they're crying to Trump about is in China, because they gave China all their jobs. America's influence in the world has diminished. People look at America like they're crazy because they voted for Trump, obviously. It's a lot of things. That's why I'm telling black people now, get your passport. Get your passport. And let's see, we can go to some African nations, try to get us some property or something. Because if you got a bill for a little bit, at least you want to have the option to.
If black people start getting their passports at a high rate, they're going to know something. There's some alarm bells are going to go off if black people keep all, a bunch of black people at one time start getting their passports. That's going to – because they're not stupid. So, well, they're stupid, but they're also they're very observant. And they're obsessed with black people. They know black people is the key to their survival. So all black people go start getting passports, that's going to alert something. They're going to make it harder for you to get passports. They're the reason why they made it where if you're a felon, you can't leave the country. And they just started reversing that now, but there was a reason why a felon couldn't leave the country.
Let me tell you about that. I know someone that has a passport that has a felony, and he said that certain countries you can't go into it with a felony. Well, some countries you can't.
I know, but I know they changed it.
Yeah, I know they changed it because I know a guy that has a felony too. It's a nonviolent felony, but it's a felony nonetheless. But it used to be in the past because my sister had a hard time getting one with a misdemeanor on her record. So in the past they did have it, but I think so many white people are now getting felonies and drug felonies that now they're catching up to it and saying, okay, well, let's lift these restrictions so that you can leave the country with a felony. But the thing of it is, certain things that they do does work, and we don't look towards the past to see what they've done that works. They've bred out people and whitened their population, so they very well could actually be planning to do that with black people because it will work. If they mix with a black person, they have black genetics, therefore they're more genetically stronger. Then they don't risk dying out. So that's the thing. We have to look at stuff that they've already done, and they've already whitened out populations. All you have to do is do it in a strategic, planned way. So they actually could do it, and it's actually working right now. And it actually is working because most biracial kids go marry and procreate white. You keep procreating, then you have a white person except with better genetics. This is actually something that Frances Cress Welsing talked about in her book. In the ISIS paper, she actually talked about that, and she talked about how that you would have a white person with better genetics if they keep procreating with black people. Now, my thing of it is I believe because they do multiple things at one time. They don't just stick to one agenda. I really believe they have multiple agendas, and I think that because they know that they're in a natural decline that cannot be stopped, but you probably could stop it if you procreate with those who are not in a natural decline and improve your genetics. And I believe that that's one of the things that they're trying to do, in addition to vastly lower the black population, if not just eventually try to kill black people off.
Well, I mean, Cynthia, they've been trying that for hundreds of years, and we still survive. Like I said, their greatest threat to them right now outside of us is Hispanics, because that's why they want that wall, because Hispanics, you know, they have more children than they have. I mean, they know that the little children in this country right now is more black and brown children in this country than white children.
Yeah.
They know that. That's why Trump is doing everything he can to stop that from happening, but he can't stop the inevitable. This is why he did today with the Obamacare thing. He took away the contraceptive thing out of it, where companies can now say, like they used to do, I ain't paying for birth control. He's doing that because he wants to have more white babies. They're going to attack abortion, too. It's coming. They're going to take that away.
They are.
I don't care if they take abortion
absolutely.
Away. Take it away, because it kills too many black babies in there, that devil Margaret Sanger. And this country sanctioned the killing babies. That's why I say they got a lot of payback to do. So that's what I'm saying. We never sanctioned to kill our kids like that. But what I'm saying is, and they're so evil, they put them Planned Parenthood clinics in black neighborhoods. They don't put that in the white neighborhoods. They put fertility clinics in the white neighborhoods. So them little white girls get pregnant, they can go sneak off to the black community and or other areas, brown areas too, get their cheap abortions, and then run back and so daddy don't know they got pregnant by Tyrone. They don't fool me. I know exactly what be going on.
I do believe that. I definitely believe that. Today I was thinking that it doesn't make sense that they would push, let's get rid of all these immigrants because white genocide is occurring while they're simultaneously over-promoting interracial dating. And I think that that's what, to me, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, because wouldn't one message counter out the next? I mean, if you're worried about immigrants over here so that you can have white babies, why are you simultaneously over promoting interracial unions? That doesn't make any sense.
But Cynthia,
you would be doing that.
Cynthia, you're not getting it. You have two warring factions within their community. You got the old white supremacy and the alt-right and all them other ones. They're not promoting that. The white liberal is promoting the interracial dating. And that's the problem. The old white supremacy, like Trump and Sessions, like, hey, we don't need all that. We need more white babies in this country. And because any union with a black person, that child is black in the system of white supremacy. So that's a problem. I don't hear Richard Spencer out there promoting interracial dating with blacks and whites. Or what's the other one named? Jared Taylor and all the other ones. They're not promoting that. David Duke. They're not promoting that. That's the white liberal promoting that. So
right, but a white liberal still doesn't
advertise anything that doesn't benefit them. So it still raises the question, how does this, and how do they perceive that this interracial dating poses a benefit to them to the degree that they would be overly promoting it? And it's in every magazine, all you see is a black man with a white woman and some mixed children. Like, that's my question, because we all know, whether right wing or left wing, they're all white supremacists. So how would they see that it is an advantage to them, which we know they don't do anything that doesn't benefit them? So what benefit do they see that interracial dating poses to them? Because it poses some benefit to them, or they would not be doing it.
Maybe you're right.
Even if it
that,
is deliberate white.
It is an agenda, but I think it's more so probably an anti-black family agenda, if anything. Not so much a benefit to them, because if our family is broken, then they still benefit the most off of our brokenness, because they get all our money. They get, you know, the best of our community, instead of having it all circulate back within the black community. So if they can promote those images to black boys constantly, you know, hey, always being with a white girl, you know, you always got a white woman teacher, everything's a white woman in your face, then maybe those black boys procreate with them and be with them. But they fear families, you know, especially black families. They don't like to see brown families. They like to see Asian families. They only want to see their family, or a mixed race of their family. So, you know, that's what I see with the whole thing, but it's not going to work. They could try, they could beg.
I do agree with that,
home,
though.
It's not going to work. I don't think it's going to work with time, because, you know, you don't have a whole class of people. Look, the only time a whole class of people ran amok in America is right after slavery. You had about 600,000 so-called mulattoes was recorded on the census. And that's because slave master was raping black women like it was no tomorrow. 600,000 people. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is.
You know, now, what they predict, by 2040, now that they may under 2040, they'll be in a minority in this country. I mean, it's not really benefiting them to be having all those babies with black people, because usually those white people are cast out by the David Dukes of the world and the Donald Trumps of the world. They're not considered part of the group. They call them mud sharks and everything else.
Yeah, they can call them that, but in reality, it does benefit them, because most biracial kids marry with white people. So you have once that white biracial person marries and procreates with a white person, well, let's throw out marriage. Once they have a child with a white person, that's creating another white person. It's not creating another black person. So that it wouldn't, because if it was really posing as something negative to them, do you think they will be promoting it like that? Because usually white people don't promote things that are disadvantages to their community. They only promote what's a benefit to it. So that's my thing. They wouldn't, I don't think that any of them would even be allowed to promote it if it wasn't a benefit to them, because back during Jim Crow, it didn't matter whether liberals or conservatives wanted to interracial date, it was still illegal. You couldn't do it one way or another. So I just think it wouldn't matter if the liberals did want it. I think if it didn't pose a benefit to the overall white collective, it would not be allowed to happen. So that just makes me, because I try to look at every single thing they do, I'm used to trying to think of what their next step is going to be, and that's what usually helped me to prevail in legal situations with racism at work, is because I always think, okay, what are they going to do next? What would I do if I was a sleazy racist demon and I wanted to get someone? That's how I think. So to me, I have to consider every single thing that they might be doing, and I have to consider, why do they feel like this is beneficial to them? They obviously feel like it is beneficial, and whatever is beneficial to the white community isn't beneficial to black people. So that's what I look at.
But you also have to understand, they don't have, like, when I was growing up, probably when you was growing up, you have on black family shows. So they don't want to hear or see the black family. Like, so you had the Cosby Show. You had things like Family Matters. You had, what's that, Sister. You had A Different World. You always had so many family-type shows. LL Cool J would say In the House. All kind of different shows that show black families. And you don't see that on TV anymore. And they replaced that, like you said, with that dynamic. So my thing is, I feel black families make them fearful. because when the black family was together is when we were more powerful, like during the civil rights movement, and how we built things after slavery, towns, your black Wall Street, your black Broadway, and all the other ones. So, of course, the black family is the nucleus of everything. So they want to try to stop that. But like I said before, it's not going – you think it's going to work, but at the end it's not going to work because their time is up. And they know this. They could try. They tried a whole lot of things, Cynthia, but it's not going to work.
Well, I agree. I don't think it is going to work. But just because something doesn't work doesn't mean they won't try. But I agree with you. I don't think it's going to work because the reality is there's too many different areas where they're failing in, whether it's infertility or suicide or murder or something. Because at the end of the day, that shooter, Stephen Paddock, he didn't go target a black concert. He targeted 22,000 mostly white people. So it's like they got a lot going on.
I'm interested to find out his motive. I'm waiting to hear them say what his actual motives are or his cell phone records or something. I want to know why he did it. I want to hear his reason why he did it. I got to know. They got to
say. I don't think they're
going to
say.
Did it. They don't have to call him a terrorist. I know they're not going to call him a terrorist, but I just want to know why he did it. I don't care if it's political ideology. I just want to know why he did it. That's it.
Well, the thing of it is you know, first they were saying it was ISIS, right? First they were saying he converted to Islam, and this is he pledged his allegiance to ISIS, the typical one. But a lot of people said that they're reading articles and seeing news clips where they're saying somebody was shooting from different hotels and from different multiple floors of different hotels. So right now, a lot of people are saying that this was multiple people that probably could be suspected as a militia.
We don't know. You know, like I said, we'll see the official story they want to put out. I'm going to say that much. I'm just interested to hear what they're going to come up with. You know, that's just it on that. But, Cynthia, you know, I'm going to see if I can get
What's
one more
call. What's the
dilemma
on your content?
My dilemma? Oh, what I was talking about earlier was I'm always having to make a decision on what I put out. Like we were discussing earlier with Golden Black. When you want to talk about crime stories in our community because it affects us, you know, then, well, you're worrying about, well, you know, you don't want to give too much ammunition to the racist, of course, but then you can counter that with, well, they already know the stories out there, so what ammunition are you giving them? Then, you know, you say, well, I want to focus and stay on code and talk about these issues, but I care about other things in the community, so it's always a dilemma. And that I have to make a decision on what I talk about because I want to try to put out the right content, but also the content has to flow with the vibe of the town. So that's basically what I was talking about earlier.
Okay, well, yeah, that sounds about right for anybody that's doing, you know, what we do and talking about what we talk about. But, all right, I won't tie up your line. Thanks for allowing me to call in.
Oh, that's all right. You good.
Okay, well, I'll be watching the rest of the show.
All righty.
All right, bye.
All right, let's see here. Somebody else told me, let me see. I know some people are like, why he had some left. Erico 404, you on the show? Erico 404, you on the show? All right, I'm moving on. Erico 205, you on the show? Nobody answered? Okay. Erico 818, you on the show?
Big Phil, how you doing?
You got to speak up. Can't hear you.
Can you hear me now, Phil?
Now I can hear you. What's on your mind?
All right. Yeah, man, I'm just looking at your topic, criminalization of us.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you on this. We got a lot of examples of it in the media these days. I seen your post of the young lady, our sister with the hair that they tried to get on, you know, just while she trying to do her at her job, you know.
Right.
Yeah, man. This stuff been going on, man. And like you said, it's just getting worse this year. You know, ever since this new presidency, you know, it's just enhanced it. And it's sad. We see countless examples of this in the media. Exactly.
Yeah, so what you think about the Black Identity Extremist label? What do you think about that?
The what? What'd you say?
The Black Identity Extremist label the FBI came out with.
Wow. I ain't heard about that one.
Oh, man.
Black,
you guys go watch the review. Yeah, go watch.
Black
yeah,
Identity. When did this come out? Today?
Yeah. You can go watch the replay. And we go through the whole article. We talked about that. But, man, brother,
well,
I appreciate
this,
you calling.
Another thing. All right. I ain't going to type your line, Big Phil. I wanted that.
All right. Let's see. Move on here. Eric Code 864, you on the show? Well, it picks up. Eric Code 864, you on the show? Okay. I don't say nothing. Eric Code 407, you on the show? You don't say nothing. I got to move. Air code 315, you on the show?
Hello?
Yeah, 315, you on the show?
Hey.
Hey, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Yeah,
I'm on the show. What's going on?
Yeah, I heard about this stuff. It's getting worse and worse. Like, whew, I don't want to say it. How long that you say that stream is going on?
Did you read the article?
I ain't read much of it.
Did you read it at all?
Just read just a little bit of it.
Okay, and what did you read about it? How far along did you get in the article?
They talking about the long shooting. They talking about extremists.
Okay. Black Identity Extremist, the article. Did you read it?
Not all of it.
Okay, the part that you read, what is it talking about, Black Identity Extremists? Why did it come up with that term?
And you look at the Google, where they talking about black extremists. The street turn of it.
Well, do me a favor, man. Read the article, and then, like I said, just call back another time. Like, come on, guys. Come on. I'm trying. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying. It's, come on, y'all got to read the article, man. Come on. That's the only thing I'm saying. Eric O 317, you on the show.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Hey, what's going on? What's on your mind about Black Identity Extremists?
Personally, I just got done reading an article, and I think this is kind of excessive on the federal government's part. I mean, labeling black people collectively, not even specifically saying, you know, Black Lives Matter or this group, that group, collectively, pretty much stating that if we're raised to believe that we're this or that, we're told to believe in ourselves, we're told that we're beautiful, we're told that, you know, your skin is perfect the way it is, and some people are just not going to like that based on, you know, the past, how it was. Them labeling, that's pretty much what the article is aiming at. Them labeling that
right.
as an extremist thing, that is
right.
the, oh my, can I don't want to get too vulgar, you know what I mean? But I'm not really, I don't really talk like that at period, but I'm not trying to get, you know, kind of out of hand on the subject, but I think that's the biggest bullshit I've ever seen. I'm not one for the race baiting. I'm not racist. I'm not for separatists. I mean, sometimes, you know, I know the channel is kind of based on certain ideologies about black people separating from whites. I mean, sometimes it would be necessary.
Go ahead. Why do you assess my channel is about that theme? Where do you get that from?
Black separatism?
Yeah, you basically you say that my overall message is that. Why do you think
No. I definitely didn't say overall message. That's absolutely not what I said. I said sometimes you can't convey like a little vibe I would give about being like you actually even mentioned it a couple of times and I think a couple of videos I've seen.
Mm-hmm. What did I say?
I think the most recent one I've seen. So black people, we should move back to the south, something like that. About to go back to the south, and then we take over
and,
that
and
region,
why,
something like that.
And why did I say that?
I don't really remember. Recap that for me.
I stated that because we're scattered all over the country, and we don't have a nucleus of black people anywhere. And I think we are safer as a collective when we are more around each other than scattered in places like you're like 1% of the population of a town or 1%.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
You
were talking about the Utah thing. That's what you were talking
about.
Yes,
sir.
That's what it's
about. Yeah, that's what I was talking
about. I remember that.
Uh-huh.
To see right. In general, as, you know, like to come to a conclusion about that, that's still technically separatism. I mean,
no, it's not.
I'm not. Don't get me
no,
wrong.
It's not.
Hold on, let me finish that one up a little bit. Now, don't get me wrong, to specifically label it as somewhat a word as strong as separatism, that is kind of strong. It is kind of a far stretch. But at the end of the day, you know, in America, let's just be real about this, it doesn't matter whether we go around it, we say, no, this is this means, this is that means. To most people, and we know who those people are, that's what that's going to seem like. Because, I mean, just this article alone tells you where this is going to go.
Hold on. Wanting to, you know, how can you build the black community when you're not even around black people, not nowhere around them? How could you? And why is it called separatist when black people say that's
well,
to build our
you're
own
doing that
community?
Right now.
Do
you're
what?
Doing that right now, brother. You build a black community as we speak right now, making these videos,
making
them porn.
What I'm saying is, hold on, every other group builds their communities, and there's nothing wrong with
absolutely.
That. Why when black people want to build their community, it's called separatism. It seemed like a bad thing. Why?
Right. That's why I'm pretty well. Maybe I said a little shaky. Sometimes I can't get misunderstood. But that's not what I'm saying. It's not a bad thing. I mean, if we want to build each other up, I'm all for that. 3,000%. I'm not against that at all. But as I said, you know, to the general populace, they're not. They're gonna see it as some. We see it as ABC. They see it as XYZ. That's pretty much.
Okay.
What I'm
who is
saying.
They? Who is they? We need to define who's they. Who's they?
Oh, white America. Anybody that doesn't understand.
Well, in the word,
white
in
America.
Word,
anybody
in
that
words,
doesn't understand black people.
Hold on, sir. Sir, in the words of DMX, when I asked him that question about his music, and I'm saying this about my videos. I don't make my videos with them in mind. I make my videos speaking to the black community. Now, I'm not saying I can't say anything they don't appreciate. I'm not saying I can't say anything that they don't relate to because everybody has
perfect.
The same problem, just more or less here and there.
Absolutely.
But when I speak, I am speaking to the black community, so I'm not really worried about they.
Well, that's good, and I would hope that you're not, and I'm glad that you actually said that because I definitely wouldn't give a damn about what anybody says either. But that's not really the point. My point is no matter what, that's still going to happen. Like me as a black man, I have to come to the realization as, like just to give an example, no matter what, I'm going to be called nigger at some point in my time in my life, which it did just 3 weeks ago, walking down the street, minding my own business. So you see what I'm saying? Even though your message isn't towards anybody but us as black people, it's still going to be twisted, misused, maybe just have a general misconception by others outside the black community. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, and I don't care.
Yeah, that's good. But period, to go back to the whole the black extremist thing, you know, the FBI article, Jesus Christ.
Hey, let me ask you a question, man. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. because they keep saying something in the comment section. You have a girlfriend?
Can you ask the comment section why does that matter?
It's a yes, I do, no, I don't. Because I'm asking the reason for the comment section is saying something. So I'm saying, do you have a girlfriend?
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool.
Seeing that the comment section asks that, that's kind of threw me off a little bit. I wasn't comfortable with that.
Okay, with the comments, it's live comments going on with the call. What I'm asking is, they're asking, is your girlfriend's wife?
Now, again, I'm going to ask, why the hell is that? Anyway, no.
It's a yes or no
black.
Question, man.
She's black.
It's a yes or no, she is a question. The what?
Well, no. I wish I can just ask the same kind of question to people that I don't really know, I'm a stranger to, and say it's a yes or no question while I've been given, actually an objection to it. That's not how really the world works, you see what I'm saying? So you can't really blame it for just asking, well, why are they asking that? And what does it matter?
I don't know. I'm just asking because they're asking.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking. I'm directing that question at them, like to you. Like, can you ask them why? Why is that coming up? Are they saying it? Because you are looking at the comments, correct?
Yeah, I'm reading them. So is she yes or no? That, like, they ask.
Yeah. Destiny Wallace. She's a sister. Yes, she's black.
Okay. Well, there you go. She says she's black. That's all. Now you answered the question.
Can you? Are they responding? Are they responding to my question of why the hell that matters?
They did respond. Some of them say why it took you so long to answer that question. I mean, that's it. No big deal.
Well, no. Well, as that goes into, let me just retract that. Well, I wish I could just run up to somebody I don't know on the street and just say, hey, why are you? They're like, well, why? Like, why are you coming to me asking that question? I mean, especially that kind of question, I've never got something like that before. That's a very specific question with an agenda behind it.
I personally feel like if I answered something differently,
it would have been like
number.
I would have got a
that. Nobody asked
why.
You for your bank account number. Come on, man. Come on, bro. That ain't
No. Hold on. Just hear me out. When you generally get a question, like something that's like a question you never got before, it's kind of targeted like at like a certain thing. Like you've been asked, like, well, why? Why are you asking me that? Like a white person randomly on the bus would ask me, hey, what do you feel about Trump's comments? Well, why are you asking me specifically? Why do you want to know? You know what I mean?
I've been asked questions about white folks before, just random questions, and I either answer them or I don't.
Well, that's my thing. I've never got it before, so I want to know what's their intentions behind it. Simple, point blank. It's not really something that should be taken farther than what I'm saying as it is. I just want to know why. I don't know why that's becoming a big issue. See what I'm saying?
Man, it's over with, bro. You answered the question. It's like it's over with. It's the end, bro. Don't worry about it. You answered the question.
But
it's good. Don't worry about it. You're good.
Why wouldn't anyone want to know like a reason behind a question that they
man,
never got?
You are good.
Did they answer the question yet?
You answered the question.
Yeah. I understand. Like you don't blow it up, Phil. But.
I'm trying to bring you to a place of peace and tranquility. That's why I'm lowering my voice. That's why I'm saying we're good.
Oh, I'm farther. Trust me. I've been beyond that by the time I matured. Trust me. When I moved out of my mom's house, I've been past that point. But are they answering why that question came about?
Brother, I don't know. I just asked. I don't know. Look, when you go to the chat room after I let you go.
But no, I'm sure they can hear me. All I'm asking you is, do you see why they're asking, do you have a black girlfriend or not? So I'm asking you, do
why
you see that yet?
Oh, man, look, go to the comment section and go ask them. I'm telling you, go talk to them directly. Not through me. Just go talk to them if you want.
So I should go talk to them, not through you, right?
Okay. All right. Now look. Go talk to them. It's good.
You asked me
we ain't about to go back and forth about this
for
5 minutes, man. Come on, bro.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Like this is a double standard. You can ask them a question about me, but I can't ask you to just respond, vice versa. Like that's all I'm saying. It's not really a big deal.
What are you talking about?
Did you not Did you? Okay, you didn't. You say you ask them. You go to the comments, right?
Yes. Ask
you
them
go
to
look.
Ask me, you,
well, just like you said,
look,
just
look,
answer
look,
the question.
All right.
Just look at the comments. See what I'm saying?
Okay, look, yes, go ask them. They ask the question, go ask them. You can question them. The show's still going on. Thank you. Jesus Christ. He's like, you're still going on about it. Like, go ask them. They ask the question. I said, like, y'all the ones saying it, not me. I just asked the question because of y'all. Erico 252, you're on the show.
Hey, I'm calling in because I've seen the video, the article, parts of it. It did, I won't say parts of it, a lot of it blew my mind. And I wanted to reference back earlier to the lady, how she said her father raised her. A lot of the
yes,
stuff
ma'am.
That she was saying, I was blown by that. The reason why I said that, like my family, I have some of them, I call it whitewashed, or you could call them Uncle Tom, because of, They still had that yes master mentality. Or some of my cousins, like one time me and my black cousin was talking, and he said he's not attracted to black women. And I was like, why? And I've noticed as I got older, his mom and some of my black side of family, they think they're better than some of the people that live in the hood. And she moved, and you know, they lived in a white neighborhood, went to a white school, so I figured that had something to do about it. And his brother, they got into a car. He was in a motorcycle accident. A lady had hit him while he was on his bike. And they were going to hold him a little service to give him some money. And the way I felt about it, how they used to treat black women as I got older, when I was little, I didn't really, you know as much as I know now. And in order for them or him, the younger boy, to date a black woman, she had to be really, really light-skinned. I thought, you know, well, it's just a black woman. But, you know, they're like, why aren't you going to give him any money? It's not that I don't love my cousin, but I can't see myself giving a man money that down, you know, that don't like black women, and he's going to use it to spend on his white wife. And going to the guy later on that came on after the lady, he was saying, like, in order to, if you want to make an omelet, you have to break an egg. It's very rare that you have a black elderly man that talk like that, because some of my black side of the family on my mom's side, they have this thing, well, you're going to listen to that white man, you're going to do what he say. And me, when I was growing up, I can't see myself, you know, having to relax my hair. I used to get when I was younger because my mom and them do that. But I can't see myself, you know, going whitewash, how I said I called it before, just to miss what they say. I actually had a brother that was killed by the police. They shot him in the back of his head 4 times, and he was mixed with black and white, and he used to date black women, but, you know, he dated a white girl, and he told her that she was moving, I mean, he was moving back with his family. And she called the police because she didn't want him to go out the door, and he wasn't a rough guy. He didn't hit her or anything. He's like, you know what, I'm going to go through the back door, whatever. And, huh?
No,
I'm sorry,
you know who I'm talking to.
Now
go
me?
Ahead.
Are
I'm
you
there.
Talking to me? I'm
sorry. No, it was my 3-year-old. It was my 3-year-old.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
She called the police on him, and the police, what they did, it was all white police officers, and they fabricated the story so bad. If your handcuffs are behind your back, if your hands are cuffed behind your back, how can you reach your hand and to the front of your body to grab a gun? So they were trying to say it was one police officer in the hallway, and the 3 other ones had went to some other part of the house. And they felt since he was a black male, they were going to shoot him. No, the police, they know what they can do and know what they can get away with. And another thing that I wanted to say, I don't mean to be too long-winded, how the lady earlier, I want to say you said her name was Cynthia. Now, some of the things she said I agree with, I want to say she may have overthinked it a little bit, like the movie Girls Trip that came out. I liked it, went to see it twice. The second time I went, there was 2 white ladies in there. I'm not racist, but I noticed there are some, you know, white people that aren't racist and some that are. And, you know, like how some black women, they go out, some have a good time, some act ratchet, some act a fool. So in a particular, like in each scene, like with the character Tiffany Haddish, I'm not talking about her bad. it's just like her particular role, you know how they had like the four friends that go and, you know, you have that one friend. Whenever she or any of the other black women would act crazy, those white women were cutting up. But at the end of the movie, I can't remember the guy's name, his real name, but the name that he was playing in the movie, his name was Ryan. And he, you know, he acted, you know, he was like the black man, the decent man. And towards the end of the movie, not the, his name wasn't Ryan, I'm sorry. It was a black girl named Ryan, and it was her high school crush. And, you know, you could tell he had feelings towards her and the way that his mom raised him. He said he's just looking for that one woman that's ready and right. When he would come up there, the white woman, they looked like they were so uncomfortable. And I noticed when it got to the sex scene, I don't mean to say it like that, but that's just what it was. I've noticed how, going back to what Cynthia was saying earlier, like when the black man and white woman are dating, some white women actually hate black women because they feel like they're better. And what I mean by that, I looked at it, some white women will do some of the same thing that some of the black girls that go out here and, you know, how they say they act like, you know, forgive my language, but sluts or whores, they'll do that same thing to pull the black man. But then when you look at it, like things in Charlottesville that happened, Charlottesville was sort of a wake-up call for some of those black men that act like that. Like I said before, I have some cousins that are like that. So it was sort of a wake-up call, but you still have some that's still clinging on to Becky. And then, you know, just to bring it back into what I was talking about a few moments ago, how those white women that hate black women, they want to be black women. Like, if you were to go look it up online, I'm also saying this too for your viewers to look at, they have some spray tans that when I'm like a brown color, that'll get them about as dark as me when I'm tan, like a dark chocolate. And one person had made a comment, I find it funny how they don't think it's okay for black people to be black, but it's okay for them to be black. There's also this Russian lady. She was white, you know, blue-eyed blonde. And she, you know, was pale white, and she got huge breast implants and butt implants. And she started getting the melatonin shots to make herself darker, and she said she wanted to be Chrissy Brown. Somebody asked her, well, do you want to be black? She's like, no.
Okay, sis. All right, sis. Let me slow you down. You went into a good monologue there, but I definitely appreciate the call. That's okay. May the Lord bless your bones and bless your voice.
All right, I didn't mean to talk to her.
All right, you have a good night. All right. Yeah, may the Lord bless her. We need to get her to start doing this live stream for me or something, because that sister can go. Shoot. Anyway, yeah, that's it, ladies and gentlemen, on the call aspect of it, because let me end that right there.